Hello and welcome back to CoronaCast. I'm Hannah Harris.
And I'm Tilly.
And I'm a GP in South London and Tilly's my daughter, who's an actor. This is the 14th episode of CoronaCast. We started it at the beginning of the outbreak of coronavirus in the UK. We talk about all things corona, people's stories and experiences. We give health advice, we interview experts, and we talk about the arts as well as science because we're passionate about both of them.
Yep, and we also answer people's questions.
And in this episode, we're going to be talking to two of Tilly's actor friends, Sarah and Tara.
Yeah, so I know Sarah and Tara because we all went to the Brit School together. And now they are both studying at two of London's leading drama schools. And because of the current pandemic, they have had their summer term has now moved online. All of their classes are online on Zoom. So doing drama on Zoom is an interesting thing, so we wanted to find out more about that from them.
Yeah, it's a really interesting interview and I hope our listeners enjoy it. We're also going to be talking about Tilly's superpower, which I only discovered about a year ago, and it's that she knows everything about dogs. I had no idea.
Most things. I mean, no, like there's a lot to know. I know a few things about them, maybe more than other people.
Literally, it's amazing. We'll be talking more about that at the end of the show. First of all, my disclaimer, I'm a GP. I'm not an infectious diseases or public health expert. Opinions expressed on my own and not on behalf of an organisation.
Before we start the interview, I just wanted to ask, because the time we're recording this, in about half an hour, we're going to hear from the Prime Minister about this potential ease of lockdown, because with all this talk at the moment of it. And I wanted to ask, what's your opinion of this kind of a suggestion that we should start easing lockdown right now? Because I'm quite torn. Obviously, I would love for us to be able to ease lockdown and be able to do more things. But at the same time, I feel like I'd feel weird doing it when it could potentially be really detrimental to our lives.
Yeah, sure. And this is the million-dollar question at the moment, isn't it? Because people are so sick of it. Being at home, not seeing their friends, not enjoying the things they usually enjoy. And I totally get that. I'm going out to work and actually interacting with people still. So in a way, I'm lucky that I still have a bit of normality in my life. But I still find it difficult, this, you know, change we've had, this radical change in our lives. But I really think that we should not be too hasty in easing lockdown. We need to be really, really careful, because our numbers still aren't very low. We've seen this sort of plateau in terms of the reduction in cases and deaths. They haven't gone down as quickly as they have in some other countries that have had a stricter lockdown protocol. So I really think we'd be stupid to ease lockdown too much. I know there's all the issues about the economy and we're already looking at a big recession coming up, which is a really scary prospect. But, you know, there are horrible economic consequences if the country is ravaged by a disease and there are lots of people dying, you know, and that would lead to also to a lot of civil unrest.
Yeah,
in itself.
I would think kind of in my head about that, like that in a way it might be more problematic if we ease things now and then there's a huge second peak, like the economy might be worse off than if we kind of carry on for a bit longer and lessen the cases.
Exactly. We want to get the cases and deaths down a lot more than they are at the moment, so that we've really got on top of it, and then that our transmission number is likely to be very, very low. And also we're closer to finding treatments and finding a vaccine at that point. As we saw, you know, looking back at the Spanish flu pandemic in 1918, the second wave was a lot higher than the first wave. A lot of the reason for that was because people were so sick of lockdown and went mad partying on the streets afterwards. And this led to very rapid spread of the disease. So I think that there's a threat of that happening to us at the moment because people are so desperate to get back out. And if the government gives everybody permission to do that, then
they might take it. I feel like even now people have kind of, lockdown is on, but people have kind of not quite stuck to the rules. Then it's like if you ease it more, people will not stick to the rules even more.
Yeah, like we saw VE Day, the parties, people were not staying 2 metres apart.
Yeah, like I understand it is so hard, but Yeah, I don't know. It just makes me quite nervous to, like, this has happened before, like, history might repeat itself.
Yeah, and we know it's a deadly disease. I think at the moment we are a bit sort of complacent because numbers have dropped, and so people are starting to feel like maybe it's a fuss about nothing, but
it's not.
So yeah. You know, and I would really will people to continue to stay at home as much as they can and limit their contact with other people. And I know it's really, really difficult, so I don't say that lightly.
Yeah, well, thank you for that.
That's okay.
Now I think we should move on to the interview. So over to Sarah and Tara. So today on the podcast, I am very excited to welcome two of my best friends, Sarah and Tara, who are training as actors at two leading London drama schools. How are you guys? Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm good.
So can you tell me, Tara, why don't you start? Can you tell me how this all came about, like, sort of from first hearing about the coronavirus to now having to completely be online doing classes at home?
Whew, okay. So I remember hearing about coronavirus, reading about it in China, and I guess it is a natural thing. You read about something and you understand it and you sympathize with the people that's going through it, but you also think, oh, that's such a over there problem.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I'm all the way over here. Like, that's all the way over there. And how funny. In January I booked a holiday for Easter, and I remember me and my friend were like, do we think it's going to be all right? And I was like, yeah, it'll be fine. Fast forward to March, I was doing my musical project, and we were all in a rehearsal room one day, and my director comes in and he goes, guys, by the way, we're going to have a whole school meeting in a couple minutes. And no one really took in what he was saying because we were about to do a whole big number. So everyone was like running around the room, trying to get in positions. Next thing you know, the whole acting course comes in. And the head of acting's like, hi, everyone. So, and basically a visiting professor had been to Italy and got corona. But my school has two buildings. So he was in the other building in like the furthest part away. But to be on the safe side, my school said that they're going to close the whole school. And everyone was like, oh, my God, what's going on? But then, funnily enough, we all just went to the pub straight after, which probably,
yeah,
I don't know if that was the right decision, but anyway. So school closed for like 2-3 days, and then we all came back. We managed to do my musical project, thank God. And then when it was finished, the Monday after, I felt a bit run down myself. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to self-quarantine. I don't know if I've got it or I'm just run down just to be on the safe side. But a lot of other people also felt the same way. So most of the school didn't come in that day. So you know, the week that school closed, my school closed on the Monday.
Okay, so early.
Yeah. So my school closed early, but I think a big factor of that was that most of the student body were like, do you know what, I'm not going to come in. I don't want to affect someone else, especially because a lot of the teachers at my school are old, and you never know. You know, you don't want to be the reason that someone else catches something. So everyone's like, to be safe, I won't come in. And then everyone had the same thought, so we all closed. And now we're doing online classes. It's weird, but some days I wake up, I don't want to do it, and some days I'm like, wow, amazing.
Yeah, it's an up and down process, but that's such a huge jump. What about you, Sarah? How was it for you?
Really similar, actually. I felt like it was so many miles away. Like, I just never even, I don't know, even like, so I live at home, and then I go into drama school every day, so I have to commute in rush hour and I get the tube, and even then when people were coming onto the tube with masks, I just was thinking it feels so far away. And being at drama school, like, for me, I found that it can just become your whole life, and it was becoming my whole life. I had like the week we finished, I had like 3 assessments in 1 week, and the next week we were meant to be at school, I had another assessment, and it just was becoming my whole life. And so we just finished on the Friday, we'd done the assessment, and then we got the news that school was closed. And we found out really early on that we'd be doing online classes. And it just, I just remember us all talking like, how is that going to work?
Yeah, that kind of brings me on nicely to ask, why don't you go, Sarah, about, tell us a bit about what they are, how do they work? and how you're finding them.
So I've just finished my second week of online classes, and we do about 3 to 4 hours a day.
Which is much less hours than drama school, right?
Yeah, because I was doing like 12-hour days on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and then Wednesday and Friday I'd obviously still have school, just not for 12 hours. So it is a big shock to the system, but even though it's less hours, and I mean, a lot of us have been talking about this thing called Zoom fatigue, where you just like, you're just on Zoom for a long time, and afterwards it just drains you, because it is like mentally and physically exhausting. And on top of that, like, we've still been given work to do. So I don't know, I'm in this weird headspace of, I know that when I'm at Lambda, I put like my Lambda brain on and I'm there. And then when I come home, I'm in my home brain. But they're being confused now, and I can't quite motivate myself to do the work I need to be doing. But also I'm restless if I'm not doing it. So it's kind of that weird push and pull for me at the moment, yeah.
Yeah, and it's so new as well. It's kind of like your brain is what's going on. How about you, Tara? How are you finding it?
Pretty similar to Sarah. Like, it's quite difficult because, so there are some classes which are, you see the effect of them straight away. So like an accent class, that's really straightforward. Do the classes and you'll be able to learn these sort of accents.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas other classes, which are more about you as an artist and you exploring, and classes that you don't see the results straight away, it is really hard to do those when you're in quarantine, because you're just like, why am I doing this? What does this even, how does this benefit me? Why am I getting stressed over this sort of class? Mm. So there's one argument where it's like, let's just do all that we possibly can on Zoom. Let's still keep as much as we can. And then there's the other argument of, we are in a pandemic. Let's strip the course down to its absolute basics and just do that. And
yeah,
some days I'm like, why are we doing this extra stuff? Can we just do what we need to do and nothing else? And then other days I'm like, no, let's do all the other stuff as well. Like the more essential stuff in a way, like,
no, I know what you mean. Like when you were saying that stuff about kind of describing the different types of classes, obviously I've done an acting course as well. And the thought of those classes that develop you as an artist, like you were saying, to me, putting that with like an online Zoom sort of class situation just doesn't work in my head. Like it just doesn't seem like it would.
Like, yeah. If I can just chip in here. Sorry, Tara. Just wondering, you know, like an acting course, being around other people and your interactions with them and responses to them and things are so essential to the course and your learning. Do you still get all that when it's on Zoom? You must really miss having physically other people around you.
I know that.
Totally.
I have this movement like one specific movement teacher, and every class he's really physical, he's really hands-on, and he just loves to work in that way. He'll kind of push us to the floor, or just, I don't know, his communication is through touch. He's a very touchy person. And we've all been saying that, like, just the lack of that is, I don't know, it's almost just like, well, why are we doing the class if we can't have that? There's so many things. I was reading that I think, like, people, like 80% of communication is done through body contact and body language, and without that, honestly, it just changes so much, and it is really limited. And I think my school are definitely doing a great job at like managing the classes and trying to recreate it in similar ways, but it's just literally the pure fact that we can't have body contact, or I don't know, it changes everything.
Yeah, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
Tara, are you missing that kind of people around and that side of things?
Yeah, I unfortunately broke my laptop a week into quarantine, which
no.
I swear to God has been the most difficult thing in life. Oh my God, it's been a joke. So I'm doing everything on my phone, and like, don't get me wrong, I'm very grateful that I've got an iPhone 7 Plus, so at least there's a bigger screen. But it has been difficult, and there's times where, so especially in a movement class, we're supposed to copy what the teacher's doing. So I want to make the teacher the biggest screen to enlarge the teacher. But then there is something about at least being able to see two other people in my class.
Yeah, of course. So you don't feel like you're doing the class on your own.
Yeah, exactly. It's not so like alienating. You're not just by yourself, but it is difficult. I think I am lucky, though, that I am in a place in my training where a lot of stuff that we do, especially like movement and even movement voice, like a lot of the stuff by now, we're not really hearing anything new. it's more just like going deeper and deeper into the things that we already know.
Yeah.
So when it comes to movement classes, I think second years are in a more fortunate position that you should be able to judge yourself and give yourself advice. You shouldn't have to wait for the teacher to be like, oh, your pelvis, oh, your back, oh, your shoulders or whatever. You should already know your habits. Like for me, I know my shoulders is a really, it's a big point where I hold stress. So I like, okay, relax your shoulders, relax your shoulders. Whereas I think if I was in first year, I would still need that from the teachers to be like, no, Tara, do this, Tara, work on that, Tara, explore this part. So that's one thing that, and it does help in that sense. Like we're doing self-tape classes and it's been really good to be able to watch a take, and you have to direct yourself. You have to give yourself a note, because then it just, all it does is strengthen your internal critic and your internal director. So that's been really good.
So some work, some are more difficult. Is what I'm sounds like.
It's some things work, but some things you do need to be in the room.
Yeah,
and it is difficult.
Sarah, how are you feeling about your future time at drama school after this?
I don't know. It everything is so uncertain. I don't really know what to feel. Like, we just had a meeting today. We've kind of been put into like small groups that we check in with once a week. And one guy lives in America, and he was saying like we might not be back till halfway through our second year, or we might come back in September. But I honestly don't know what to expect. And part of me feels like, similar to what Tara was saying, part of me feels like, okay, let's just like try and get as most out of Zoom as we can. Because there are some classes, like for example, accent class, I'm finding a lot easier over Zoom because I'm only in a group of five. My teacher is right there. I just make the notes. I practice like the different sounds to make, and it is just much better. So part of me thinks like, yeah, let's just go for Zoom. Let's try and get it out. But another part of me is like, I don't know, like it's never going to be the same. Maybe we should just postpone this part of the training or push it back a year, which obviously I know has so many complications, and the institution just would lose out on money and time. And yeah, I really don't know what to expect. It all feels a bit uncertain, but similar to Tara, I feel secure in the fact that I know I have time left. Like if I was third year, I don't know what I would be feeling right now, but I know that I have at least time left to keep training, keep performing. And yeah,
I get that, because it's so uncertain, and I don't think anyone knows what the best thing is to be doing.
Literally.
So it's yeah. What about you, Tara? Because obviously, because Tara's in second year and Sarah's in first year. What's it like for you being in second year, Tara?
Oh, it is really difficult, because on like my year group had a Zoom check-in yesterday, and it is hard because on one hand, you want to focus on the present and you just want to deal with what's going on now, you know, deal with, okay, cool, I've got this accent homework that's due for today. I've got next week, I've got this and da, 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 da. But on the other hand, you've got the news saying, oh, this won't open until August or September. And then like, I'm going into my third year, and third year is about shows. And if people can't come to watch my shows, then what does that mean? And then the next conversation is, okay, so are we going to record the shows? And then I think watching recorded theatre is an acquired taste. Me personally, I still haven't made my mind up if I enjoy recorded shows. The great thing about being in a show with different people is that everyone I invite, so agents, casting directors, etc., everyone that I invite will also see every other person in my play. Whereas if we record it and I invite people, how do I know they won't just skip to my bit? But then that will also happen to everyone else. So I don't know, it is weird. And I personally have tried to not think about third year, just I'm not stressed out, because this term is already stressful enough. But it is scary, especially when people are talking about a second wave, and the second wave happens right in the middle, then what's going to happen? What are we going to do? So it is quite scary. And then the conversation happens of, do we just cancel all of next year and just defer it? Like we all just go again next year? Because me personally, I think I will be upset if I don't get the full thing that I was promised.
Yeah, I think it's mad. Like, I don't think people realise, especially kind of people not in our generation who aren't studying, because for every student, but especially for you guys, like, it changes the outcome of, like, things for you hugely. Like Tara, you were saying, you having to do like maybe recorded shows and stuff like that, it changes things so drastically. I think there's a lot of attention that needs to be put onto that, into how we can minimize the change and still make it fair for you guys. Like the huge impact it's having, I don't think everyone sort of understands at the moment.
So hard on you guys, what you're going through, and this, you know, this is your future,
yeah,
that's on the line, that and you're that you're having to kind of compromise about, and it's really important to be considerate towards you and you know, make things as good as they can be.
100%.
Yeah.
Do you guys, Tara, do you feel the best is being sort of, the best is being made out of a bad situation, or do you feel more could be done by maybe your institution or the government? How are you feeling about that?
Ooh. I don't know, because on the one hand, I'm making a conscious effort to remember that, like, all my teachers, everyone that is sorting out this thing, like, they didn't have, like, you have to remember that everything we've done has been done before in a normal circumstances. So every, like, third year is nothing new, second year is nothing new, whereas this is brand new. So these teachers are making, like, brand new ideas. Like, one of my teachers is like, I didn't train to be, this isn't what I signed up for, like, to teach online. I like to be in the room with people. I like to touch people and to hear people. So on one hand, I am trying to remember that this isn't what they signed up for. This isn't what they trained for. This isn't what they planned for. But it is easy to blame the teachers and be like, oh, well, why haven't they done this? And why haven't they done that? But I think, if anything, my friend who goes to a different drama school sent me his timetable. And his timetable is almost exactly the same as if it would be if he was in the building.
Oh my gosh.
Whereas my school, they were like, we're not going to do that because we recognize that you guys need to do stuff. So there's some days where, like, I will only have two lessons a day, and then there'll be a check-in in the evening if I want, which is optional. And then there's other days where there's more stuff, but
it's hard because as I said before, no one's ever had to deal with this before. This is not what your teachers signed up for either, and how they would be teaching. So it's very difficult to kind of be able to know what your students need and what the right thing is to do when we've never faced this before.
And I suppose the question is, either you can have drama school like it is at the moment, which is really suboptimal on Zoom, but at least you're learning, or you could not have it at all for the foreseeable future until everything opens up, which is goodness knows when. And I suppose, what would you prefer, like, to have it like this or to not have it at all?
Like, I know there's some schools that have had shorter terms. I think they just started, whereas I started 3 weeks ago. So it's like, do I want a shorter term, or I don't know?
Yeah, it's difficult. What about you, Sarah? What are you thinking about how, like, if the best being made out of it, and could more be done by your institution or the government?
I feel like it's been really hard on the teachers, and I feel like they have done a really good job, actually, and they've been checking in on us. And I know for a fact, if I were to have a problem, I could just email my head of year and it would be fine. I think the support system has been great. And yeah, just everything that Tara said, they're going through it themselves and they've never had to do this before. So it's just new for everyone. And I really appreciate it in that sense. And also, part of me, like, I know myself, if I'm getting annoyed at, like, the work or the training, it's easy for me to be like, oh, they're giving us too much to do. But I know as a fact, I kind of use the teachers or the training as a bit of a scapegoat for my own annoyance.
Yeah.
Because I was talking to my friends and we were saying, like, drama school most of the time is the priority, and the training comes first. But right now, I personally don't feel like I can make it a priority just because of my headspace and the fact that we're in a global pandemic. I don't think I can actually say, okay, my training is priority right now, because I feel a bit like I'm in Groundhog Day. And but then on the flip side, I do think if we were to just not do Zoom classes or online classes, my training, because I only started in September, my training would somehow start to undo itself, and the progress I've made, even though, like, I'm not excelling at the moment, I'm still keeping it up, I'm still doing my warm-ups and physical work, and I'm still reading about acting and having acting classes. So I just think the fear is that could start to undo itself. So it is really hard.
It's hard to find a balance, but I don't know what, like, your kind of drama schools have done about this, but I just think for all students we need to address the fact that people are still paying full price for their courses when it has been limited so much. And especially for you guys, like, there's just such a vast difference between being in the room, being in the environment, doing your training, to having to do it at home and still having to pay like it's normal. What do you guys feel about that, Sarah?
I completely agree. I'm in like a certain position of privilege because I'm still living at home. I'm not paying rent, which is one thing right now I'm so, so grateful for, because I have so many friends that are just paying for houses that are completely empty and half their belongings have just been left there. So in that respect, I mean, that's a whole other issue of landlords and rent. And in that respect, I feel lucky. To be honest, sometimes, if I'm really honest, sometimes I feel like this $9,000 I'm paying for feels so far away. It doesn't feel like my money, because I know
money. This is the $9,000 tuition fees, right?
Yes. The tuition fees, which is $9,000 a year. Sometimes it feels so far away because I think I know it's my money, but I don't have $9,000 right now. So I know I'm going to have to pay it back in the future. And I think then is when I'm going to start to feel it. So I was doing between 40 and 50 hours a week, and then also I would come in on weekends, or I would have extra work to do which would take up the majority of my weekend, and now it's been stripped back so much, and I am paying for an education that I'm not really getting, and it's...
Yeah, I really feel like it should be addressed.
Yeah, I do.
What about you, Tara? What do you think?
Yeah, pretty much the same, to be honest. I think, do you know what it is? I think because I'm getting a student loan, so like, the money doesn't seem very present, whereas I know the people in my course who are paying cash, they're the ones that feel it a lot more, which I understand. Like, I guess they see the money, whereas me, like, I do that at the beginning of the year. I tick a box, I press send.
Yeah.
So for me personally, I haven't thought about it that much. But I guess later on, I'll probably look back and be like, oh my God, what did I even pay for? I think because we're so personal with the teachers and we know them and we care for them, then if we now kick up a fuss about fees, then would we then affect their pay?
I feel a bit more like it's a government responsibility in a way to sort of address that's happening, since they're kind of responsible for how high these fees are.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it feels, if I kicked up a fuss, it would feel really personal.
That makes sense.
And I feel like I'd be personally attacking my movement teacher, which is silly because it isn't between me and her. It's about me and the government and how much the government has set our fees. So I think that's a weird thing, that when the discussions have been happening, I don't really have that strong of a voice in. But I do think it is important because, like, we were talking about this yesterday, because the argument was that we're probably still getting more than what normal universities are getting, because I have friends who are getting one lecture a week, whereas I'm still having a few classes a day.
I have friends at uni with like nothing, like they've got sort of PowerPoints online, and I just think, what the hell?
Exactly. So the government can go, yeah, but you're the privileged one. But then I said, well, it's different though, because I bought a product. If you think of the course as a product, I bought it, I paid for it, thinking I was going to get 40 to 50 hours a week, and anything less than that isn't what I paid for.
And it's on Zoom, which is definitely not, you know, not what you bought into. That's not the way an acting course is meant to be taught. And it's not, I don't think you should accept that, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. I think everyone's trying to get to grips with the whole classes and doing projects and doing homework. I have assignment due today that I still haven't done.
Yeah.
But whatever, we're in a pandemic, so I'll do it tomorrow.
How are you, Tara, feeling about the future of like the arts, theatre, TV, film as a whole? Because I'm kind of torn between, I feel in a way like it will be more valued because, you know, it's got everyone through this in a big way in terms of like the amazing TV we see coming out of it, the kind of recorded theatre. But at the same time, I'm seeing a lot of funding being cut, like theatres losing money, like lots of money being lost, theatres going into administration. How are you feeling about that?
In terms of like creating stuff, I think that isn't a problem because my friend's dad is a producer, director, like everything, writer. And she was saying how her dad is working all day, every day, because everyone is just creating stuff. Like, he's just always in meetings, always in like writing meetings, talking about this script, talking about that script. And I think when this is over, a lot of ideas would have been greenlit to be made. So I think on one side, that's really good. But I worry about theatres who every show they make funds the next show. They don't make that much money that funds the year in advance. So small theatres like The Yard and stuff like that, like, they make this money, that money goes to the next one, that one goes to the next one. I worry about those theatres because they just don't have the money, and it is scary because those theatres make shows that aren't always conventional and might be a bit risque, but they're amazing in itself. And I don't know, so the theatre world scares me and it does worry me a little bit, but the people who are a bit more, I don't know, like a bit more like earthy, like the theatres and stuff, even places like the Royal Court, which is a big theatre, but the writers that usually go on there, they're not like household names, they're real people,
they're new writers
exactly, but some of them their first, their second play. So I worry for those theatres. But if I was like a graduating actor, if I was already graduated, I think I'd be like, oh my god, what's the industry going to be like, what's everyone doing, you know.
I get you. What about you, Sarah?
I feel like it's a really interesting conversation. I was saying this the other day to my, like, my screen teacher. I was saying that the one positive is that I think when you talk about theatre, like, you can't ignore the fact that it is, there is the issue of class. And to see a production, you have to pay money. And some cheapest tickets go at £15. And that can be a lot. You need disposable income to go and see the theatre. Whereas right now, we're all in our houses. No matter where you come from, some things are still just at your fingertips. You can pop on the TV and watch something, and there's new art being created every day. And I think things are becoming a bit more accessible than having to pay £70 to go and see a great show in the West End. You can just, it's more accessible to people. But on the flip side of that, young creatives and people wanting to put on work, theatres are shut down and we don't know when they'll be open again. And like we were just saying about the Royal Court and people trying to get their work out there. Like this time last year, I was putting my show on at a fringe theatre in London. And and it just, if this has happened now, it would have completely, my show would have been cancelled and I might not have gotten into drama school. So it just, like, I don't know, it's such a tough conversation. And I do worry for the theatre.
Well, let me just say, I'm very happy that your play was put on at the Fringe Theatre when it was, because it was so good, Sarah.
It's absolutely,
it was
brilliant.
Amazing.
Oh
yeah, Tara, I forgot to say as well, me and when you said the thing about your acquired taste about recorded theatre, me and Mum feel exactly the same. Like, well, we find it so hard to get into it.
Yeah, I find it as frustrating as a Zoom conversation, to be honest. It's just like, you know, theatre is not made to be on screen. And for me, it just doesn't really work.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just so much hard to get into.
I even watched one that was like, it was adapted. The one I watched, this one, I won't name which one it was. They added scenes they'd like shot in like, on like a bench in the park. Do you know what I mean? So they added like actual filmed scenes. Just so it did add to the story, but at the end of the day, like, I just kept going on my phone during when I was watching it. And the whole point of going to the theatre or going to the cinema is that you can't do that.
No.
So you have to watch all of it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas,
actually,
like, when you're at home, you can just go to the toilet.
Yeah, you can, like, pause for a snack or go on your phone. Like, that is exactly me.
Yeah, it's just not the theatre experience that you want.
And also, I find the camera zooms in. Like, as though it's a TV program or something, like the camera zooms in on the actor and then I'm losing the whole stage.
Yeah,
and
you
I'm
want
like,
to see the whole stage and see what the other actors are doing.
So finally, how are you guys coping with lockdown in general? And if you could finish your point with one positive thing that you've kind of felt about it, observed from it, whatever you want. Sarah, why don't you start?
Oh, that's so nice. I'm coping okay. I have ups and downs. This week was quite hard. Like, one of my family members was quite ill and we actually had to go to hospital, and she's absolutely fine now, but it just kind of really put things into perspective for me that I just feel really, really grateful to be safe. And just the small things that I feel so grateful to have a room, to have a garden, to have space in my house where I can actually move around. And I have been struggling, and I'm not going to sugarcoat lockdown as this, oh, you know, I've really realised things about myself and realised things. No, because it's not that. It's, we're all struggling and none of us are particularly enjoying it, but we just adapt and we just kind of get on with it. But yeah, I just have to say that I feel incredibly lucky to be safe and to have space and be with my family.
Oh, that's so nice. I get you a lot, actually. I think it does make you appreciate random things at times. Like, sometimes I'll just be so grateful to have this, like, form of shelter that is my home, that's so nice, to such a nice space to be in when so many people don't have that. What about you, Tara? How are you coping? Positive things?
Pretty similar to Sarah. So I had both my grandparents on my dad's side pass away in last month.
Yeah, it was,
so that was really difficult.
I'm so sorry, Tara.
Oh, it's okay. But it's been weird, because it's like, we're trying to process that, we're trying to go through school, and you're at home, and like, you're seeing everyone baking on Instagram, and you're like, maybe I should bake a banana bread.
I know.
I don't know. Like, it is weird. Like, I don't know what to do.
I know.
But like, I won't lie to you, like, it has been difficult, and I have had quite low moments, but
of course,
similar to what Sarah was saying, you do feel really grateful for what you do have. Like, I have a garden, and today we were playing table tennis in my garden, and I think I know loads of people who would wish to have my garden. So stuff like that, like going to Tesco and there being none of the basics there, I have to actually look at what's on the shelves. And I was like, oh, I've never tried that before, but I'm going to buy that instead. And I've never had that before. But do you know what I mean? Like, I've had all these things I've never had before, because I was like, okay, well, we have to think outside the box now, because there's nothing here.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna try it. And today I spoke to some of my neighbours for the first time.
Same.
Really nice. Well, thank you guys so much for doing an interview for us. It's been so good. I think it will be so good for people to hear this.
Thank you so much.
I had one more question.
Sorry.
And my one more question is, you know, at the moment there's a big, well, there seems to be sort of two types of people. What, the first type is terrified of everyone breaking lockdown and just wants to stay in it because they're so worried about the virus, and then the other half, or however many there are, just want to get back to normal and want lockdown to end. And I think young people are being sort of tarred with the brush of wanting to wanting to break lockdown, and I just wondered how you feel about it. You know, are you pushing to get out? You know, obviously you probably are for your course, but
It is difficult because I am dying to go out. But like, my mum had corona, and if you see it up close, it's not cute. Like, it's serious. Like, she had it really, really bad. So I don't know, that like, there is one part of me that's like, oh, I can't wait to go out, go to a friend's house. Like, there's people's birthdays that we're going to redo once this is over. But then it's also like, I saw what my mum went through. And even to this day, she'll go on a walk, and she'll come, a short walk, and she'll come back, and she's like, I am so tired. Mm. She's like, I've got no energy left. So I don't know. It is difficult, because I'd rather just be depressed now and go through it than go through a second wave, because I think the second wave, it will kill me. I think it would actually destroy me as a person. So I'd rather just go through it now and let's just deal with it. So I don't know, it's hard.
Sarah, how about you?
Honestly, I feel exactly the same. I think I personally think it's too soon to lift lockdown, and I understand that we should trust like his decision, and he's got more insight and more information about it than obviously we do. But even yesterday there was, 600 deaths? And I just think, I know that it's coming to the point where we need to think about the economy, but people are literally still dying, and I don't know, it's really tough. But obviously we all want to go out and we all want life to return to normal. But part of me just thinks, where am I even going to go? Like, okay, I can see my friends and that would be great, but it's not the same as going out or like going to a restaurant, and we still have to keep 2 meters. So shouldn't we just, I don't know, put up with it for a bit longer to save more people's lives? That's just kind of how I feel.
Yeah, 100%. And what Mum was saying about kind of course, young people want to leave the house and get back to normal again, but so do everyone else.
Yeah,
I'm not seeing young people having street parties today. It's like everyone is getting fed up of it.
Literally.
And it's a difficult thing to decide about, because it's kind of on a personal level of, I would love to go out and see other people, but on a larger scale of, but I like, people's lives need to be saved, and it's not just about kind of going out and having a good time.
And that's a really good point, Tilly. Today is VE Day, before the interview started, we were all just saying how so many people are out on the streets having parties together, and they're not really kids; they're mainly, you know, major grown-ups. So I think we need to look to them when we talk about breaking lockdown.
Thank you guys so much. It's been amazing to have you on.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Stay strong. Love you guys
lots. Thank you guys.
And love you, babe. You too.
Bye, guys.
Good luck. Stay safe.
Thank you. You too. Stay safe.
And good luck with your classes. Bye.
Thanks so much to Sarah and Tara for coming on the show. I really enjoyed that interview with them. It was so interesting to hear their viewpoint. That's partly what I wanted this podcast to be about, actually, was hearing voices that you don't necessarily get to hear in the press, on the radio, TV. They're so optimistic and hopeful for the future. And I really feel like, you know, young people, you get that, you know, they can be sort of undervalued. But that optimism, you know, really helps everybody to get through.
Helps to move things along. And I think at the moment, especially, it can be so easy to complain and feel resentful and bitter.
And hard like done by.
Yeah.
Yeah, we see that, I think, probably with older people.
I mean, I don't know, but maybe.
Grumpy old men and women like me. But it's just so, yeah, so lovely to hear a bit of hope. And, you know, they must be having a really hard time. You know, it's really not what you want when you've signed up to a theatre course and you're having to
sit at home and do it online, but they still manage to speak positively about it, which is really inspiring, I think.
Yeah, it really is. So thank you so much, Tara and Sarah.
Thank you, guys.
So now on to the positive news. First of all, I have a lovely piece of positive news from producer Russ, who is loving Sophie Ellis-Bextor's Friday night kitchen disco sessions. She does like a gig in her kitchen. And you know, she's got about 5 children, I think it is now.
Oh my goodness, dealing with that in lockdown.
Yeah, so she's there dancing around with her microphone, all dressed up, and all her kids are around dancing and wearing masks, and it's so cute.
Oh, that's so lovely. I should give it a watch. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. I think initially she was just doing like one song, but now she does a kind of 20-minute gig every week. So
nice.
People should definitely look out for that. I think you can access it, well, all kinds of places. I think probably on her Instagram is the best place. We'll post a link.
Yeah. And, well, this is kind of our joint thing that we've been finding recently. Where we go for our walks in the park quite a lot. We've had lots of joy from watching the little doggies run around. There's so many where we live.
Yeah, dogs are just so cute. And we've been talking a lot about wanting to get a dog.
Because I am currently applying for drama school, which I think I've mentioned in this podcast before. And I haven't been offered a place yet, but hopefully I get one.
Yeah, there are still auditions coming up. Yeah. There are kind of 3 drama schools that Tilly's waiting to hear from.
And these things are taking a long time at the moment, with kind of transitioning to auditions on Zoom and getting back to people. I think it's taking a while because everything's delayed. But
I think they're holding out to see if they can get to do the auditions face to face rather than online.
But we were kind of discussing that if I didn't get a place this year, that we would be able to get a doggy.
It'll be a lovely way to fulfill another of Tilly's dreams,
a dream I've had since I was very, very young.
I know, by the way, I should say there's a lot of in the press about dogs and people buying them too easily during lockdown, so I don't want to promote people just doing that and getting dogs that they might not necessarily want later on.
No.
But it is something we've been talking about for a long time.
We've had many a discussion, and we've decided that, because we're not sure what's happening yet, if I do end up not getting a place, we're going to have a long talk about, you know, how we would do it, whether it really is the best thing. But it is a nice idea to have in our little minds, and I'm finding, like, it's a nice little daydream for me to have in these lockdown days. I've been doing a lot of that about different things, and one thing is to have a really nice companion for us here.
Yeah, we love talking about it on our walks to cheer ourselves up.
Makes us happy.
And the other thing I should say about it is that Tilly, I think of it as her superpower. Basically, when she was little, she used to spend a lot of time with my mum, who's a vet. And
I used to go into work with her.
Oh yeah,
she was a vet. She's retired now, but she was a vet. And I used to really love going into work with her and seeing her clients with her.
Okay, yeah, and they used to talk about dog breeds a lot. And Tilly now has this like vast knowledge of different dog breeds, both what they look like. So she'll just, we'll be going around the park and she'll be like Border Terrier, Corgi, Labrador.
I'll just be, yeah, I can identify breeds pretty well, although there's lots of crossbreeds at the moment that are hard to identify, but yeah.
You even have a good go at those as well. And also she knows all the pros and cons of each breed. Like, for example, if I say, how about Border Terrier?
I would say they're a lovely little dog. But one thing I would say is their temperament can be a little bit mischievous. They can be known to be a little bit of a naughty breed. But not kind of naughty and like aggressive in anywhere or anything like that. Just maybe a little bit difficult to train. But they're really lovely dogs to have.
Okay, and that's how about from me. The Cocker Spaniel?
Cocker Spaniel, okay. They're cute, but they can tend to get a few problems like eye problems, ear problems, and skin problems, especially eyes and ears, because their ears are quite fluffy, so they can get sort of infected, and their eyes are quite exposed to the air. Kind of, they droop a little bit, so more than maybe other breeds or like us, you know, our eyes don't droop. But they're cute, but they can sometimes have a bit of a funny temperament. I mean each is their own dog, but they can be not the friendliest breed, I would say.
Okay,
but I know loads of, like, I know they're a very popular breed. But yeah.
And how about the Labrador?
Really cute pet, very, very trainable, got like nice short hair, doesn't smell too much. But one thing, well, actually I had a friend who did smell, but like on the whole, but I would say,
why
they
are some
can be,
dogs smelly and others aren't, that's another whole question.
But they can be quite high maintenance, especially chocolate Labradors. They can need a lot of attention and care. I mean, you should care for every dog, but I just mean where some dogs might be a little bit easier to look after.
So they're quite needy.
Yeah, they need a lot. If there's only like two of you, or you're out of the house quite a lot, it might be a bit difficult.
And they need a lot of walking, I imagine.
Yeah,
as well.
They do need a lot of walking compared to maybe a smaller dog.
So there you go. Any listeners want to know the pros and cons of any dog breed that they're thinking about getting, just let us know. Tilly will tell you.
I'm really scared now. I might have got that all wrong. I just remember when I dream about getting dogs when I was little, and I'd imagine all the breeds I was going to get, and I'd ask my gran, so what about this one? And I remember to nearly everyone I'd say, she'd be like, oh no, don't get that one.
And then she'd tell you why.
Yeah.
It's so cute. So yeah, more chat about that in another episode, maybe.
Sorry, don't mean to offend anyone if they've got a dog that I've... I'm sure your dog is lovely, but that's what I just remember from those conversations with her.
Oh, and yeah, we'll give you more news about our potential acquisition of a dog later.
As time goes on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been great talking to you.
Yep, and thank you so much to our lovely interviewees for this episode too. We hope you enjoyed hearing them as much as we enjoyed speaking to them.
Yeah, and do get in touch. questions@coronacast.co.uk.
That's our email. Or you can find us on Instagram and Twitter. Our name is @thecoronacast.
Hope to hear from you soon.
Thank you so much for listening.
Stay safe.
Bye. Bye.